Hello and welcome to the podcast series Guardians of Language and Country, a podcast about preserving traditional languages and how passionate people in far north Queensland are doing this with technology. I'm Donny Johannesson, a Garang Garang Cubby Cubby man, and together with Kuku Yalanji's Alden Lyle, we are speaking with mobs around the Cairns area who are teaching traditional language and using it on country as well. That's so important, and ensuring that it gets passed on to the younger generations. In this series, we've been to Mamu Nirima, Kuku Yalanji and Gugangi countries. And in this final episode, we're heading to Western Kuku Yalanji country. Alden, what struck you about this country and the people you met?
We're in a different landscape. It's more outlandish, Western type of country. There's a bit of greenery in it, but it's not as rainforesty, but it's beautiful in its own way. It's got fresh waters and lakes and stuff, so definitely a different type of country, and you feel like you're really out in the West, and it's a beautiful place. Some of the people that we were with on this episode, we traveled with Brad Grogan and the Western Yalanji Rangers, and they took us north of Mariba, which is 2 hours northwest of Cairns, to Merry Farm Creek, and we sat around the river and had a little chat. Just talked about language and technology and their hopes for the future. Lindsay Gore gave us a little welcome to country arriving at the river, just to warm off spirits. And then we sat down and had a chat.
Well, welcome to country. I'll sing out to Ngati. We own country today. I was doing this, ask them as a present for doing the good for the next generation. Pupu.
My name is Brad Grogan, CEO of Western Yalanji Aboriginal Corporation for the last 9 years. I'm from the Kukumini clan of the Yalanji tribe, and that's based around Palmerville Station, Maytown area.
We're sort of at the southern boundary of Western Yalanji country. Probably goes back that way south, down to Rifle Creek there, which is about probably 10, 15 k's. And we're right on the boundary to Eastern Yalanji. We have a bit over 1 million hectares under native title that we manage. We've got 4 full-time rangers and 1 casual, and then 2 office staff. At the moment, you know, we're doing a research with the Australian Research Commission and Griffith University. We're running a ranger program at the moment. We're trying to establish some language programs at the moment for the youth.
How is language kept alive, and how is technology helping with language?
It's kept alive now through technology, through the apps that we have. The technology is a big thing about it, about keeping it alive and reconnecting with everyone all over Australia. You know, I can't really express how much it's helped us, you know, in identifying languages and keeping it alive.
Alden, I'm always fearful of going up onto that particular country because we know there's, well, native animals that can come out anytime, anywhere. Did something happen to you up that area as well?
Yeah, so we sort of crossed the rivers and sort of stamping our feet through the shallow rivers, and we were just sitting down and yarning mid-interview, and then I was just looking at Lindsay, and he sort of just got up and walked away without sort of saying something, and I was like, oh, are you right? What's going on? You're right? And then he sort of like looked to the side of the river, and he sort of said, Jama, and that's, I think, one of the languages for the word snake. To the left of me, about 1 meter in the water, there was 2 little brown water snakes. We didn't get close to them. Could be a water snake, it could be a taipan, could be a brown snake. So we just sort of kept our distance, and I sort of interrupted the interview, and I just sat there because I didn't know what was going on, but yeah, he was up and gone. I pretty much worried about the camera first, make sure the camera wouldn't fall on the hill in the water. And then I got up and I was like, where, snake? Where?
It's the bellowing in the water you've got to be aware of, Alden, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. You
know, we know crocs are up that area too, so it's good that you're nice and safe.
Snakes are everywhere, and if you walk through the water and step through twigs and leaves, and they feel vibrations. So if they feel 3 or 4 of us walking through the river, then 5-10 minutes later they will pop up and they, what's going on here? And then sure enough, the snake was there looking up at us, and scary but funny. And then finally I was able to chat with Lindsay more about language and culture.
We're back now after the Jama, the snake fiasco, Jaraba. Yeah, Lindsay, welcome.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Gore. Born and bred from Mariba. instead of being a ranger, casual for Western Yalanji. Been working there for a while, on country, teaching young kids that talking language, taking kids out, showing them that bush tucker language as well. And then a bit of everything else what we do out there, to learn them what we do on country and get them a bit of experience as well at the same time while we're teaching them.
How is language kept alive? What do you do to keep language going?
Keeping it going with the young generation today, speaking it and all that sort of thing as well. But we need to get them out on country and that, just to teach them about language and that.
How's language used in everyday life?
Sometimes I talk to my daughter all the time. She know it as well, but she know a bit of it. She always a Yalanji woman as well, from Mosman. So that's part of Yalanji anyway. So she know a bit of language and all that. Even Kukunyimidi from Hopewell, where I grew up as a kid. As I was growing up, I was learning language as well at the same time between the old people.
Throughout this series, we've heard how important it is to keep talking to the elders and custodians and get as much language from them as we can. That is so important, and spreading that out through family members is so important, isn't it, Alden?
Yeah, definitely important. You see a couple of good examples from the episodes previously, like Trinity Clark, because she grew up, you know, learning language from our grandmothers, and it's similar with Lindsay and Nisha. They both learned from their grandparents, and, you know, they've had a lot of practice, and that's why they're fluent. It's important to, I guess, keep learning from the elders, even though most of our elders are gone now, but, yeah, improve ways to learn through technology. But like Trinity was saying in the previous episode, learning breath to breath from family, yeah, as Nisha and Lindsay did. If we can, then do it while we can. And if we can't, then we'll learn from apps, technology, and books, and carry on and do the best we can with language.
Ngayuburi Nisha Williams, that means I am Nisha Williams. Ngayu Gugu Yalanji Buruwara Julaiwara Jalbu. So what I'm saying is I am a Gugu Nyungul and a Gugu Yalanji girl, and they are my clan groups.
Gami Gami means old man. Ngachi means alpha as well. You got two different languages for old people. Mukai. Mokkai, that's uncle. Animals, black ant, they call him a language, they call him Gira Gira. The next animal, in Goko, they call it the Gundu. The next animal we're going to say for the bandicoot, in Goko language, they call it the Gungun. The bat, flying fox. The big one, they call him the Jelbal. Small bat, they call him the little fella. They call him the Mali Mali. The next flightless bird, called the cassowary. They call him in language Buranji. Language for mud crab, they call him Giju. Also, the language for dingo, they call him Maramu. Dog, in Goko language for that, is Gaya. Bee, for Goko, they call him Garaka. For the guana, for Goko, they call him Gary, crocodile, but we call him Bilgamo in Goko.
That was Lindsay giving us some words in language.
So I asked Nisha about how she experienced language growing up and how she uses it now and learns from her aunties.
Well, I know, like, for my aunties, people may not speak it, but they probably can understand what you're saying. And like there again, how, you know, back in the days where people got sent off to different communities, you know, and this is where their language died out, or they weren't allowed to speak their language, or that because they'll get whipped, or, you know, from the missionary or something. For me, I'm glad that, you know, and I'm still learning too. I listen to my aunties all the time when I go to Mosman, and I'm glad that I can sit and speak, you know, Yalanji language with them when I can. And I take every moment for it. And I get down there as much as I can, because, yes, our elders are leaving us way too soon. and that's our library, our knowledge, they're gone.
Nisha has a lesson for us now. Maybe you can try this in the car or at home while you're cooking, while you're doing something else, because the best way to learn is to practice and continue practicing. And we've seen this across the series in how important that is.
Nisha will now go through a few categories of Gugyalanji language for us. The first category is people.
People, Aboriginal Bama, Aunt Bimay. Oldest aunt, Mugay. Two or three or four aunts, Bimanga. Child, Gargay. Daughter-in-law, Kijuway. Doctor man, Banaji Nyurgunji. Father, father's brother, Nganjan. Friend, Jawin. Ghost, Dubu. Girl, Maral. Baby, Gira. Grandfather, Aji. Grandmother, Gami.
The next category is body parts.
Abdominal contents, guts, jewel. Ankle, birbad, wulu. Back, mugu. Bir, walar. Belly, waral. Buttocks, juju. Chest, dumu. Ear, milga. Elbow corner, juru. Eye, meal.
Also, what we're going to do today for yous, we're going to talk about food. For meat, in our language, we call it minya. And there's another one called fish. We call it guyu. Also, the biggest fish called the barramundi, we call him kuri. And there also, there's a big scale fish out in the sea, ocean. We call him ngangan, the mullet, ngangan.
Tell me the plans, future plans for language and Western Yalanji.
Well, the future plans for language is to establish an app for Western Yalanji and working with Griffith University to get our virtual reality tourism, so to speak, up and running. So we're at our early stages at the moment, and this has only been made possible. We're doing it off our own back with no government funding. We're actually using our carbon credits to do it, and that way we can get it done our way.
That's one of the most important things, ways to get our stories back over to our people, you know. Most of them are spread out all over Australia, and they don't get the opportunity to travel back to country. So this is going to be a way of them going back and having a look. And we're doing we're in the third stage of an application with the Australian Research Centre of Excellence for Transforming Human Origins research, and that's where it's going to be initiated. While we're doing our research, it'll then be put into virtual reality for our people. Traditional owners and members of the corporation will be able to access a whole lot more information than the general public.
And this will be in English and Western
language. Yes.
Yep.
If you can actually, you know, virtually see an animal or a plant that you're trying to learn the language of, it's going to make it a lot easier. You know, Aboriginal people, we're more visual people and hands-on people than we are sitting down behind a desk and learning. It's important, you know, for people to be able to see and feel, even though it's not a, you're not right there touching it, but it's going to make you feel like you're in there, you're immersed into it. I find it a lot easier, and the youth that I deal with find it a lot easier to actually learn in that manner.
A lot of the generations are gone now, the fluent speakers, but there's still a few out there. Like you're saying, in this episode, we've had Nisha and Lindsay speaking a bit of language, but
there's not many people left that do speak our language fluently. I see it as our remaining elders and Eastern Yalanji getting together to help us revive our language. You know, language is important for identity. I mean, when you go to New Zealand or you go over to Northern Territory, you know, everybody learns a little bit of language, even down in Mossman. And the racial tension between those communities, you know, have sort of eased because of everybody learning the culture that they're living in, right, at that moment. It gives them non-Indigenous more of a different aspect on looking at blackfellas, you know, when, and wondering why things are the way they are. And if they understand it, then the racism is pretty much left to the side, you know.
You know, when you go out to the country, how do you feel when coming? When you go out to Maytown and Mary Farm? Like,
yeah, well, I just came back after 2 weeks' stint in the bush yesterday. I got in town about 11 o'clock in the morning and I was ready to go back about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know.
Just that spiritual connection to want to be out there.
Yeah, just being connected and being there and knowing, you know, that you're protecting culture. And our next step is reviving our language. You know, it just makes you want to be there constantly.
Keep our language going and keep it alive as long as we can. And please just teach our younger generations to keep it alive, because there's not a few left of our elders anymore. So yeah, just keep our culture and language alive.
So, Alden, we talk about language and country. We also talk about guardians and elders. How important was it for them to understand the importance of what you were doing, going onto these countries, capturing language to give to a bigger audience through the SBS podcast?
I think it was a really connecting thing for them. Like, it's sort of like a reminder, and like, I think they're pretty honored and happy about it, that they're sharing their language with a bigger audience, and made them feel stronger too going on their country. And you know, it only reiterates how strong they are with language. I think they don't realize how strong they are with their language, and you know, being on country and enjoying it, embracing it and sharing it with all the people from their country and around the country is great. They love it.
And they embraced you using technology as well?
Definitely. Sitting down with them with the microphones and the camera at the same time, it was beautiful to get on their country and listen to their stories. And I like going to their countries and even my country and sharing language and the country.
Alden, it's been a whirlwind tour for you. What did you learn from the podcast series?
I think I learned more about my own language, actually. Yeah, stronger. I know a bit more about it. I know it's available to me now. And I know that language is progressing and getting better in these areas, hopefully all around the country.
Yeah, I learned the breath-to-breath discussion that we had in one of the episodes. That was really amazing to hear that. The technology, utilising the technology, and also the Indigenous data sovereignty, and giving up this language, giving up their time, talking about language and culture on country. So to me, that was so important, and you captured it so well. And thanks again, Alden Lyle, for travelling to all those different parts of the country up in far north Queensland for this podcast series. And a huge thank you also to Trinity from Jebel Binna, Lenise and Candice from Gugangi, Francis Joyce, Dwayne Hodges and the custodians, Uncle Alf Joyce and Stephen Purcell from Mamu Nirima. Brad Grogan, thank you as well. And the rangers from Western Yalanji and all the rangers and junior rangers for sharing their knowledge and country with us. They are the real guardians of language and country. We hope you learned something from this series and have a better understanding of why keeping traditional languages alive is so important for our people and our culture. Share this series with your mob and your friends, and follow Guardians of Language and Country on the SBS app. This podcast was produced by Alden Lyle with the help of Mandy Coolen, head of podcast Joelle Supple, and producer Kerry Lee Harding from SBS. I'm Donnie Johannesson. Catch you next time. Bye for now, and thanks for listening.